She's right. I would not want her to mention that. We've been ministering. Next year will be 20 years that we've been in Paris, basically. And when we started as a satellite. Ordination is, it's man, you know, just a man thing. And so I just never felt like I needed it. And I never have looked for the approval of man. I've always wanted the approval of God. And so I've had these classes for years and years. I've been taking classes for years. And so it's just they actually asked me to be ordained. And so I submitted to them. So, amen. Today, if you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'll be reading the first 17 verses. You know that I'm in a series right now. And actually, even the family is going to still be in this series. And it's because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, make ready my bride. Make ready my bride. And so I've been preaching to you on what I feel like that we need as a church, as a people, as the people of God. What do we need? And we started off with addressing what pride looks like in our life and how we desperately need humility. And you never outgrow humility. I don't care if you've been serving God for 50, 60, 70 years, you must maintain that spirit of humility in your life. And then from there, last week we talked about purity, the way of holiness or sanctification, whatever you want to call it. Even though that seemed like an outdated sermon, that is not an outdated sermon. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We need, if there is one sermon that we need to make ready the bride of Christ, and what are we talking about making ready the bride of Christ? We're talking about, I'll fly away. She never sings this, but I like a different version of the end of that. It says, I don't think I'll have to die. One of these days I'm going to fly. And that's my feeling is, the Lord is coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And so what we're trying to do is to prepare you to be ready for the coming of Jesus. And that could be in 100 years. We don't know. But it could be next week. It could be today, right? And so we just don't know. We are to live in that ready moment, right? And when the Bible says to encourage each other with this statement, this should be an encouragement to you that Jesus is coming, right? So if you'll turn into John chapter 13, I'm talking to you today as living as servants of God, living as servants of God. He says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, in other words, he knew he was headed to the cross, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Do you know, just stop right here for a second. You know you are his own. Do you understand? He will love you to the end. Not to the end of this life. Right? To the end. Meaning, in there, up in the heavenlies with him, he'll love us forever. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you'll know after this. And Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, he took taken his garments and he sat down again. He said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful that we can gather together as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, the ecclesia, the church, and know, Lord, that you're here, right here in the midst of us. God, I wish that we could understand that you are here. Lord, I know that we know it mentally because your word declares it. But for some reason, God, it doesn't get into our heart and spirit that when we gather together, there you are in the midst of us. Father, we reverence you today and we recognize that you are here by your spirit. And I pray, God, have your way. Have the perfect way of Christ today. I bind any spirit, Lord, that would cause confusion or that would try to distract from what you are doing in this place. And we release the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to heal, to continue to fix our messed up lives, but more than anything, to transform our thoughts today. Lord, you said that we have the mind of Christ. So Father, I pray today, let us walk in that mind. Give us wisdom, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, we want to start off with a definition. So biblical servanthood is more than performing tasks. It's a heart attitude of humility, love, and selflessness. And I like the next three words. Service is love in action. Love. So if you don't remember another thing, you remember that. What is biblical servanthood? It's love in action. Meeting others' needs with the heart of Jesus, obedience. Now, typically, when a preacher preaches about service or servanthood, it's because we need nursery workers, right? And then there's a line, a sign up. As soon as we're done, we say, okay, now you heard the service. Now sign on this dotted line and we've got your soul for the rest of your life, right? Well, I don't want you to go there today. I'm not preaching out of need for us. I'm preaching out of need for you. I am not, there's no sign up today. There's no guilt. Are you following my heart? I don't want you thinking along that line. So service, biblical servanthood is more than what you do in the church. It's your lifestyle. Can you just take those three words and just ask yourself, am I love in action? However you see that, whatever the design of your life, all of us tomorrow will go into separate places and we'll go to our work, but your work is your ministry. Am I love in action as a nurse, as a school teacher, as an accountant, whatever you do, as a garbage man, I don't care what you do, as a farmer, it doesn't matter. Am I love in action wherever I'm at? Because that's where I want to preach to you today. So Jesus gave us this beautiful example. And so I wrote down five little points that I wanted to bring to you. Number one is Jesus was confident in who he was. are you? I don't think we are. Not confident in your ability, confident that Christ is giving you his ability. Are you confident in who he's called you to be? Some of you are highly trained individuals, and you may be confident. There may be a confidence in yourself because you've been through school, you've taken the classes, you've been doing the job. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about, do you know who Jesus says you are? That's more important than anything else. Who does he say I am? And then, am I serving him with all my heart in that area? Paul said this many times, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. What was a bondservant? It wasn't just a slave. It was a slave that said, I want to stay with you. Right? It was a slave that said, I know that you've set me free and I can go elsewhere. I can be free and go and do my own thing. But I love this family and I want to stay with you. And the master of the house would say, are you sure this is what you want? Absolutely. And they would take him to a doorpost, and they would put his ear on the doorpost and take an awl, I think is what it was called. And they would drive that awl through his ear, signifying for the rest of his life, it's an identity. This is who I am. I am a bondservant of this family. Well, let me tell you, Jesus has got an identity for you, and he seals us with the Holy Spirit. We are identifiable. There is a mark. We all talk about the mark of the beast. Ooh, the mark of the beast. Mark. Well, let me tell you, Satan is a counterfeit. He's not original in any way. And all he's doing is counterfeiting the mark of God on his people. There is a mark in Jesus Christ. He wants to mark you so that no matter where you go, people know, oh, that man right there is a son of God. Jesus said, I don't know if you got this, but he knows who he is. And then it says this, setting aside his garment. Setting aside that I am the Son of God. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think it was total humility. Jesus said, I'm going to set aside the garment of kingship right now, and I'm going to become your servant. And he did this as an example so that all of us would see this is the church. So what do? We make foot washing this ritual in the church. Could we have missed it any bigger than that? I'm not against foot washing. I just don't think it's supposed to be a ritual of the church. He's not teaching us to wash the feet. He's teaching us to serve each other. In this day, they wore sandals on very dusty roads. And so as they would walk, their feet would get dirty. And there was usually, whenever you'd go to a house, there was a servant of the house would meet you at the door with a bucket of water, and he would wash your feet so that you would come into the house with clean feet. Most women would like that. Are feet clean today? You don't need to take your shoes and socks off. I don't need to inspect. Follow me for a second. We don't have a problem with feet. We have a problem with minds. It's not my feet that needs washing. It's my mind. He goes to loudmouth Peter. And he said, Peter, I'm here. I'm ready to wash your feet. Oh, you ain't washing my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you're not one of mine. I believe that's speaking of salvation. You better be washed, right? I'm from Kentucky. I like to add an R in wash. It's not wash, it's wash. Call it what you will. It's just the way we say it. So, you know, Peter submitted real quickly. He said that, don't just wash my feet, wash my head, my hands. I want to be yours, right? That's the heart that every one of us should want. God, I want all of you. So from this, we find this beautiful example that the king became the servant. The church world should be so totally different than the world in which we live in. See, the world in which we live, it's top, you know, dominating everybody else. Have you ever thought that, you know, the lowest paid people in the job organization actually are the ones that's making the money to supply the chain upward? Isn't that right? The people that make minimum wage, that's frying that hamburger for you, is actually making the salary of the guy, you know, hundreds of miles away, sitting in an office, doesn't even know how to fry a hamburger. Right? That's not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of this world. See, the kingdom of God is the executive at the top. He is submitting himself to become the servant of all. He will come and fry hamburgers if he needs to. You know, when we first started church, we would gather together and Treva would be having worship practice and I'd grab a toilet brush and I'd start cleaning toilets. And you know what? It bothered people. They say stuff like, what's a pastor washing toilets for? They'd ask me and I'd say, 'cause they were dirty. Good enough, right? Let me tell you, washing toilets, sweeping a sidewalk, cleaning glass, it's not too good for me. And it ought not be too good for you. If the chairs need moved, that's your job. It's not the custodial job. Are you following me? There's no hierarchy in the kingdom. We're all servants. We're all servants of God. Let's just do as we're called to do. The very first thing that I think that we need is to always put others first. In Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4, he says, don't be selfish. That's a message by itself. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Don't be selfish. Find some place, and listen real close to me, that someplace does not have to be in the church. God may call you to serve an area that's not in the church house. It's still a service to God. Are you following me? Now, he may call you to teach a Sunday school. He may cause you to do a lot of different things, but don't limit yourself to just what can I do at Bridge of Hope. No, no. I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope right now. I'm talking about your life before God. But I guarantee you, people is going to come into play. People will come into play. So don't be selfish. Quit trying to impress others and just serve them. Number two, serve with love. See, when you step out of love, you step out of God. And if anything else motivates you other than love, you're being motivated by the wrong thing. If your motivation is you want people to notice you, I'm sorry, you just lost your reward. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'll tell you. Galatians 5:13 says, you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. Colossians 3:17 says, so whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Serve with love. Whatever you're doing, make sure love is your motive. The next one is random acts of kindness need to be intentional. Random acts of kindness should not be random. Not for the child of God. Seize the opportunity to serve in whatever capacity you can serve in. Whether it's in the house or out of the house. It may be, you may be sitting down with a bunch of people. Brother Puckett was wonderful at this. Brother Puckett pastored Mayfield, Kentucky Assembly of God for years. Great man of God. just esteemed by so many. And he was esteemed by so many because he was a humble servant. He was an amazing man. His church, he was a stutterer, a severe stutterer, and he pastored a church. I never heard his sermons that I didn't take something home that was worthwhile, that was God anointed. But on several occasions, I would have gone out to eat with Brother Puckett and with maybe some other ministers. And if somebody was missing silverware or missing something, Brother Puckett would jump up out of that table. And he'd be gone for a moment. You didn't know why he was gone, but he was getting your silverware. He wasn't flagging down a waitress or a waiter. Are you following me? Nobody asked him to do that. Nobody. So I used to work in Mayfield from Murray, but I worked in Mayfield a few days a month, when I worked for a company. Years ago, time after time, this is the report that I would get all the time. Oh yeah, our family was down one time. Dad had lost his job. We had no food and Brother Puckett showed up on our, I'm telling you, servanthood is where it's at. Sir, he loved through serving people. That's the way he built his church on, he was a stud. Did I make myself? He was a stutterer. Folks, if you were picking out ministers and 100 ministers, you would not have chose Brother Puckett. But God did. That's exactly right. You know why I think? Because I think Brother Puckett knew I can't do this in my own strength. It's going to take God Almighty. And man, I'm telling you, back in the 80s, Assembly of God churches were all small. I mean, they were 30, 40, 50, 60. And Brother Puckett had a church in Mayfield, Kentucky, running 600 people. How does that happen? Only one way. The Lord builds the church and all that labor, we labor in vain. Are you following me? It's God on flesh. I think you're going to be amazed as you begin to just think about other people more than you're thinking about yourself, as you're trying to love people. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Can I write that over for just a second? Can I put that in the Kelleher revision of how we do that today? God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now use them to impress one another. The American way. Are you impressed with my gift? No, we're not. But when you get it right, are you following me? Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps with the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. So here's what I feel like the Holy Spirit told me this morning. As you give up, and as you submit your giftings to the Lord, he's looking to elevate you. He's looking to add to your ability, his ability. Everything that God does, he never does to take away from us. He's never in subtraction. He's always into the addition. So we never lose when we serve him. Does that make sense? So too many people look to the pastor and say, well, is the church growing? Or is the church, you know, how's it doing? And they look to me. It's not my job. You know what my job is? To say, go, girl, go. To equip you to do works of service. That's what scripture says. Ephesians 4, he said, I gave apostles, pastors, and prophets, and a couple others, teachers. I gave them for the work of the ministry so that we would equip you. I started to bring my sword today because I was going to end service with a hand and with a sword. And I was just going to say, you are enacted now into the kingdom, right? But me with a sword, probably not the smartest thing to do. So I left it at home. But I'm telling you, God gave me this sermon a few weeks ago. And I've been so excited about sharing it with you. Not because we need nursery workers. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always, right? I got news for you. Nursery workers, we will need all the time. There is never a time when a church doesn't need nursery workers. Just part of it. That is not the sermon. The sermon is, do you want to be great? Do you want to be great in the kingdom? You know, when Jesus took off his robe and he equipped himself to wash their, you know, just a few days before that, you know what the disciples were arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest? I'm thinking I'm going to sit on his right side and you're going to sit on his left side. That's so human, right? It's so human. And he was showing them, no, it's not about you elevating yourself. It's about you submitting yourself and letting me elevate you. See, what we need to do is say, God, I know that you have gifted me in this area. I submit it to you. I submit that to you. And let God begin to show off. I was reading this morning about some of David's men, and it literally says God gave them supernatural wisdom. Immediately said, I want in that line. I want in that line, God. I want that supernatural wisdom. You know, God gave some of them a spirit of craftsmanship, right? Have you read about the tabernacle that David built or that Solomon built? It was extreme. How did they do that? God gifted certain people to have those skills. Everything that we will ever need in this church, God will put it in the house. I believe that. He'll put it in you. See, my trouble is getting it out of you. Normally when we say something like that, we're talking about money, but I ain't talking about money today. When you look for a leader, make sure you look for a servant. Whatever you're looking for. When you look for a leader, if you're the president of a company and you need an employee, make sure you look for a servant. That is as wise an advice as I could give you. Matthew 20:26 through 28 says, but among you it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Don't be afraid to yield everything to God. He's not taking anything away from you. He's looking to build you up. Now I want to give you one warning. When service becomes your identity, it's like everything else. You can get, there's a ditch on both sides, right? So in the pathway of servanthood, the ditch on this side is that you don't believe in it and that you won't yield to God. But the ditch on this side is servanthood becomes your identity, not Jesus. And it's all about being seen. And Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42 says, Martha welcomed him into her house. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and she said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Wah, wah. I've played that song a couple times in my own life. Tell her to come. Isn't that something? You hear what she said? Jesus, you tell her to get her butt in here and help me in this kitchen. Kelleher revision. Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, now listen, listen to the sweetness. My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. You notice he never said there's nothing wrong with these details. He didn't say that I'm not looking forward to this dinner that you're cooking for me. He said, you just got your priorities wrong. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and I will not take it away from her. Number one, when your service impedes your worship, you're out of order. Are you following me? Did you catch that? The Holy Spirit gave that to me just this morning. Well, last night as I was laying in bed. When your service impedes your worship, you are out of order. It's time to go back to the Lord and say, I'm out of kilter. You remember back in the 70s and 80s, we had pinball machines. Some of you guys as old as me, you'd play the pin, you'd hit it. And if you hit it just a little too hard, right, it would say tilt. In other words, quit cheating. You tilted the machine, right? And so that's what the Lord is saying. Tilt. You're out of kilter. You've got it wrong. Time to reprioritize. Time to reevaluate for just a second. Folks, this is something that you will do all the time in Jesus. All the time you are going to go to him and say, God, I think I'm out of kilter. Right? Because it's so easy to get our priorities off. I don't know why that's so human, but it is. So when your service impedes your worship, stop. Just stop. Lay it down. Let's get back into the right posture at the feet of Christ. There's no better place than that. When your service causes a critical spirit of others, you're out of kilter. Did you notice Martha? Tell her. You know who's really guilty at that? Preachers. Lord, I'm killing myself for this church and ain't nobody helping me. Woe is me. Are you following me? You know, you do this at work too. Well, I'm just working so hard and old Peter over there, he don't do nothing. That is not godly. Bible says, don't compare yourself among yourself, lest you become a fool. Just do your job and do it till it's pleasing to God. Isn't that simple? Aren't you thankful God kept it simple? He did that for you. He did that for me. When your service makes you become argumentative, you're out of kilter. I could say this. When you think everybody else needs to do it your way or what you're doing, I find this so much in the church. Well, I'm doing street reach and the rest of these sinners won't help me in street reach. I'm teaching a Sunday school class, but why isn't everybody teaching? Well, God hadn't called everybody to teach. Thank God. There's some people we don't want teaching, actually. I'm keeping nursery, but nobody else is. I know you think I'm being funny, but I ain't being funny. I'm being really serious. This happens over and over and over in the church. You just do what God has called you to do and do it with all your heart, with all your soul. Pour all of you into that and let the rest belong to him. But when you feel that argumentative spirit, Martha was ready to fight with Christ. Can you get it any more wrong than that? She welcomes him into her house. She designs this great meal that she wants to fix for him. This is sort of like her worship to the Lord. And then she gets mad that her little sister's not helping. And she tells Jesus, you need to do this. I'm telling you, we come into the house of God and we start ordering Jesus around, we're out of kilter. Tilt. Big time tilt. Husbands, you ought not do that to your wife. Wife, you ought not do that to your husband. Thank you for your enthusiasm. When your service has created you to worry and has stolen your peace, you're out of kilter. You're in the wrong spirit. If your service doesn't bring peace to you, you're probably in the wrong place. I find that God wants us on the right bus, but it's pretty important that you get into the right seat also. A lot of Christians are on the right bus, but you're in the wrong seat. Does that make any sense? It's really important that you find out, what has he called me to do? And then do it. Your life will be blessed when you find your place of service. And do it with all your heart. That's what I came to tell you. Would you stand with me? One more story I'll tell you really quickly while you're standing. King David, towards the end of his life, he got it on his heart to conduct a census. And so he asked Joab, the commander of his army, he said, I want you to create this census throughout all of Israel. And Joab argued with him and said, no, why are we doing that? See, the only reason a person wants to know how many people there, other than who's all paying taxes in America, but is to know how strong we are. It's so we can live in our own strength. And Joab said, please don't do this. And King David said, no, we're doing that. So it took 9 months and Joab comes to him. And as soon as Joab gives him the numbers, he knows he's wrong. And the man of God comes to him and said, you ought not have done that. Right? And so God gives David a question. And he says, there's judgment coming. And he says, there's three things and I'm going to let you choose. You can have 3 years of famine. You can have 3 months of being at war against your enemy and losing. Or you can have 3 days of judgment from me. And David, I don't think David had to think long and hard about this. He said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God as my enemy. He said, I'd choose the 3 days. And the Lord began to send his death angel over Israel, and 70,000 people died at that judgment. 70,000 people. And the angel of the Lord was getting ready to enter Jerusalem where thousands of others would have died. And the angel of the Lord, our God, told the angel, he said, stop, that's enough. He stopped the judgment. That's the mercy of God. And so David goes to the threshing floor of Arona, right? And he tells Arona, he says, I need to offer the Lord a sacrifice. And so I need to use your threshing floor, I need to purchase your threshing floor. And Arona says, you don't have to purchase it. I will give it to you and I will give you the animals that you need to make this offering. And David said this, I will not offer to God something that does not cost me something. You see, in America, American Christianity cost us nothing. Are you listening to me? And a relationship with God that cost you nothing is also worth nothing. Are you following me? I pray today that your relationship with Jesus cost you everything you have. Are you willing to submit your all to him? And if you are, would you come and just line up down here? Take it seriously. Come in line. Don't do it to impress me or anyone else. But if that's you, if the Spirit of God has touched your heart today, I want you to come all the way up. I think the altar will be full because I know your hearts. Now, many of you are already here. So what this is for many of you is just a recommitment. But it's always good to revisit those things in our life. To say, God, 50 years ago I committed my heart to you. And I said, you are my all. But today I recommit. And as I have walked up here, my prayer is, God, I submit to you my everything. Your everything may be a lot to some of you. It may be very little to others. It doesn't matter. It's your everything. Can you just lift your hands before the Lord? Father God, we come before you right now. And Lord, I have delivered the service and the sermon, the thoughts that you have placed on my heart. God, I know that I know that I know that you placed this here. And I have delivered it the exact way, Lord, that I believe that you wanted me to. And Father, they have received it quietly, but they did receive it, God. And Lord, I believe that the Spirit of God has taken this sermon, these thoughts, and he's buried it into their hearts, into their minds. To now, here we are at the end of the service, having to do something with these thoughts that we have received. Lord, our choice today for those that are gathered up here, their choice is to recommit themselves to being a bondservant of Jesus Christ, to living the life of service, to saying, not my will, but thy will be done. I pray that those words right now would sink very heavily into our heart and that we would quit making life about us. And we would start making life about you. And God, how do you want to use me in the end of this world? God, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would rest upon each and every person. Lord, just take that message and just bury it deep into their heart. And I pray, God, that things would begin to appear in their mind and their thoughts. Lord, ideas of how they are to serve you, God. As they open up their heart, as they submit their life, God, now this is the time, Lord, that I'm asking you, Lord, just birth it. Birth it in them, God. Birth this spirit of walking with you, of serving you in every capacity that they can. God, help us to keep our service in the right perspective. It's you first. Our service is second. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, in the name of Christ, let the power of God hit this congregation with a spirit of humility, the spirit of acceptance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lead us in the course.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. With me still I will follow. Still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have
decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Real quick before we leave, for those of you that didn't know, we had a wedding yesterday. Damon and Julie Nichols were married yesterday, praise the Lord. So we're happy for them, and we want the opportunity to bless them as they start their marriage together. So we're going to have somebody at each door to take up an offering if you want to give something to bless the new couple and their family. Whatever's given is just going to go straight to them. So if you want to write a check, write it to Damien or don't ride to Bridge of Hope, you know, because we're just going to give them everything that comes in. So just a heads up on that. And then I think all the other announcements were earlier, so we're good. If you want to raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing as Shelby comes. In Numbers chapter 6, when God gives Aaron the blessing to give the people, he says, we call it the blessing of Aaron, but technically that's kind of a misnomer. It's the blessing of God given to Aaron, because Aaron was the priest. Luckily, through Christ, everybody that's a believer is a priest, right? So we can all bless one another. So Shelby's asked if she could deliver the blessing. So receive it the same as you would any other time.
May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious of you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken, go in peace and serve the Lord.